as a leader, you want your women to thrive in their marriages. Because if the women thrive in their marriages, you've got a happy husband, you have a better church, the women are happier. And as a pastor or leader, you create an environment for the men and women to thrive in their marriages. You know, in some ways, to help a woman thrive in her marriage, she needs to know who she actually married. She married a male, masculinity. But this male is an image bearer. Who is he? Well, he is a spiritual being. A lot of times wives will joke about, like, my husband, you know, and, you know, is he really that spiritual? Oh, no, he's a spiritual being. And his spirituality many times expresses itself in maybe not as emotional ways, but he's a dominion seeker. You know, he needs to work. He has work. He has a life. In Genesis chapter 1, you know, he is to have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. And that's core to him. A wife needs to know that if, let's say, I see that a lot in young wives where they sort of feel like work is in competition. But no, it's part of his DNA as a man. He's often competitive, and this is something some of the wives don't like, and they fight it and they fight it and fight it. No, he's often competitive. A woman is competitive, but the competitive nature is just a little different. A guy is competitive and he's like obvious about it. A woman can be more subtle about it. But the man's obvious competitive nature is often something that turns femininity off. But understand, that's often how guys are, and they're obviously about it. They want to win, and they want everybody to know they want to win. He is more sexually intimate, okay? And this is probably one of the hardest things for a female, a woman, a wife, to grasp. And sometimes she can grasp it, and sometimes she can't grasp it. That a lot of times, you know, a guy just right away gets physical, and the wife is sort of like, what? We just had an argument, and now you want to have sex? Well, understand that for a guy often, that sexual experience, intimacy, creates the platform for emotional connecting. Whereas for a woman, emotional connecting creates a platform for sexual experience. So anyway, just understand that's sort of how it is. In some ways, just like for a woman, he too is still a boy at heart. He wants to play. He wants to win. There's part of every man that's 12 years old. And a woman needs to know that. Let's talk about what he essentially needs from his wife. Well, the Bible says it. He needs that biblical submission, that loyalty. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Acceptance of his maleness. And I know that for many women, this becomes an equality thing. Well, I'm just as equal to him and everything. And we're not talking equality. We're talking about biblical submission. That every team needs that team leader. And notice the key word, in the Lord. It's not saying that he's right on every decision. It's not saying that, in fact, if he leads in a way that's not in the Lord or not biblical, his submission, his servant submission, his thinking of the best is called into question. But I'm talking in general, that attitude of submission is a biblical theme. That he is not to be in submission to you, that you are to be in that biblical submission to him as your leader. Now, this is very complicated today. And as pastor and pastors, you're going to have to figure out locally how that works itself out. We have abuse. We have men in the past who've had major abuse authority problems. In some ways, this biblical submission feels more utopian than ever. What I mean by utopian seems like, is that even practical today in the day of equality, women's rights, and all these things? And maybe today that has to be understood in a way where we're moving in a direction back to that more biblical submission from the men's point of view, to be a servant leader, to lay down his life for his wife and give to her that servanthood. You know, and for the woman to trust a man after what happened to her life. What I'm basically saying is that we should not throw out biblical submission, number one, because it's in the Bible. And number two, there is great joy and treasure and benefit if we can align our lives back into that of the Scriptures. A man needs respect. Back to his maleness. You know, it says that a husband is to love his wife. So a wife needs love, affirmation, faithfulness, loyalty, and that into care. But a husband needs respect. So as you're pastoring the wives and the women of the church, is a sharp-lipped wife who always puts her husband down and so forth, that's something that just goes against who he is. The Apostle Paul says, and the wife must respect her husband. I used to have a book in this class called Love and Respect, and by Eldridge, and that's an outstanding book, and I highly recommend it to really dig in to what love and respect means from Scripture. What does he essentially need from his wife? He needs a partner. Sometimes he might look like he doesn't need a partner, but he needs to be completed from his partner. Behind a successful man is a great woman. And I have seen that again and again and again. Back to Genesis chapter 2. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and they will become one flesh. And notice that first part. And she will be called woman because she was taken out of man. God designed that the woman and the man would fit together. And that femininity and that masculinity would work together to raise children, to do better in their businesses, better in their callings, better in their ministries, whatever. Together, you are a team. Help a woman see that she is looking for how to complete her man. What does he need? He needs intimacy. He needs that sexual sizzle with relational support, okay? Now, again, this is one that gets to be a lot of debate right now because a lot of women, they sort of see that and it sort of turns them off. Like, you know, so he's horny and he wants it right now. Oh, man, I'm not in the mood. I don't feel like it. And the way he yelled at me 2 hours ago, no way. And there's sort of that attitude. But help your women see that that there's no games and conditions to that sexual part of their relationship as well. I like how it says in the Song of Songs 8:10, I am a wall, my breasts are like towers, thus I become in his eyes like one bringing contentment. You know, help your women see that they can protect their husband. I am a wall. And their very presence, their physical presence, men are visual and all, can be towers, protection. They can be one who brings contentment. You know, a guy could be grumpy and real crabby and doesn't want to be relational and all these things when he comes home because he got beaten up at work and all this. And then he somehow gets a sexual urge, and so he goes over to his wife, and the wife is like, boy, is he grumpy, and how could he even want sex right now? And then she goes forward, and she like says, I got to help my man. I got to love my man. I'm going to like be turned on for my man. I'm in that mindset. And then after they've had that sexual intimacy, it's like he opens up. He's emotionally opened up. And he is ready for that next day of struggle to bring home the bacon, so to speak, for the family. Because he thinks if there's sexual sizzle, our relationship is great. And then what happens is the relational side keeps increasing. Now, I know there might be women out there who say, no way, and my husband, he just wants it, and then he's gone, and everything. Well, he needs to get with men, and he needs to be encouraged about the emotional sizzle. He needs to be encouraged about being that relationship romance man. And in a church, as a pastor, that's why we work both women ministry and men ministry. We don't just, like, beat on the men to be, you know, more relational. No, we also encourage the women to come where a man is at. And together, you encourage both. And as both are encouraged, marriages are enhanced. You know, there, Romancing Your Husband was a book by Deborah White. And she wrote this book, and she writes basically what he does not need. And she talks about female chauvinism, and it's just kind of interesting. So I'll read you like some of the things she writes about. You know, help your women to understand that they shouldn't roll their eyes and saying, that's just like a man. You know, there's like a disrespect in that. Or telling jokes that put men down with other women. Or dishonoring husbands by scoring their needs. Yeah, you know what, he's going to come home, he's going to want sex, and then, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he's such a boy, he needs all that stuff, and I'm here to be the big mommy and give him all, things like that. Treat your husband, you know, that next one, as if they were your children. Here's another one, you know, thinking all day of how to control your husband and you know, manipulating ways to do that. Believing that women are really superior to men, Deborah says, you know, don't even go there. It brings you a lot of unhappiness. Or joining in on the let's complain about men gab session. Or discrediting husbands' decisions, dreams, and masculinity. Criticizing, oh, here's one. Criticizing your husband in front of children and friends. You know, I've been a pastor a long time, and I'll see all of a sudden a wife just launch into criticizing her husband. And I'll just see his whole demeanor drop. And I'll just see the hurt that you know, and wives too. If a husband just started lay wasting into a wife, how that would totally defeat a woman. But in front of children and friends, it really does have a negative impact. Not speaking constructive criticism to a husband unless it's in private and in love. And, you know, a lot of times a woman, you know, they said that women have like a gazillion more brain cells than men do. And a lot of times, and I noticed that my wife is way more capable of seeing what needs to be addressed and fixed in a hurry. But I know that, and she doesn't do that, but I know that how it would feel to me is if she just like spilled off her opinions right in front of everybody. But my wife will tell me in private when we're in bed, you know, you said this. I thought you were a little prideful there. I thought this, you know, and I just respect and love her for that. And then Deborah talks about, and from little girls, girls rule, boys drool. That's kind of funny. But it's that attitude. It's that attitude of how do you live with a man. And as a pastor and a leader, what you are encouraging in each, you're encouraging men to do their part, women to do their part, all guided by a walk with God. Because if you have healthy and thriving marriages, your church does a lot better.